Yes, thank you for that worship and that song, I Surrender All. Now, actually, I was going to use it at a different part of the service, but I've actually got a reading, well, from a book called Unleashed. And I found it very challenging, because when we talk about I Surrender All, this lady, Hae Woo, is from North Korea. She has been incarcerated for her faith in a labour camp and is one of the bravest and most sold-out Christians we have ever met. The power of her words was not lost in translation as she explained about starving in the North Korea and all that it meant to be a Christian there. Hae Woo explained what it looked like to plant a church in a labour camp where she was incarcerated. The true cost of following Jesus in her context was strikingly real. The church had to be planted in the toilets, as this was the only place one could ever realistically gather in a queue. They gathered, congregation would quietly whisper the truths of God together, knowing their very lives depended on not getting caught. The church in the labour camp especially loved it when it would rain. This provided the only real opportunity to worship in song without fear of being caught. As the rain lashed down, the Christians would cry out in worship with a kind of unbridled freedom that they were denied the rest of the time. That really makes you think that when we come comfortably here, free to come and worship as we feel led, and there are those who are struggling, but will actually meet together and be together and try their best. And in some cases, they just pass a little bit of the Bible around, frightened to death that if they're found out, they'll be in trouble. Doesn't that make you really think that we come and we can share in fellowship and we enjoy it, shall we say? But actually, for those, it would be a miracle to be able to share communion as we do. Anyway. Word for the Lord. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And we thank you, Lord, that you are coming. So we do thank you for this bread and this juice. We thank you, Lord, that it represents your body and the blood that drained from your body through that harsh treatment that you received even before you got to the cross. There would have been that trail of blood as you went to the cross and then at the cross itself. And your body, I dread to think of it. We turn to you. Can the stewards or somebody come forward? Michael will come. Yeah, probably. Woo! Are you all right? Don't lean back. Oh, we've got three. Yeah, three's fine. Thank you. Right. and we'll eat as one. When it comes to it, you want these. Unscrew it and find out. Excuse fingers. You're all right with these, you don't need it. Okay. We thank you that we hold an open table for all those who believe that Jesus is their Lord. If for some reason you don't feel able to take the elements, then let them go by. On Zoom, we pray that you've readied yourself, because I didn't think to ask at the start. But if you can join in, please do so. That's you. Thank you. Yeah, I've done that one. Well done. Yep, thank you. Oops. Yes, let us take the bread as remembrance of the body of Christ. We take the juice, the remembrance of the blood of Christ shed for each one of us. Father, we come before you and thank you for that blood that not only is for the cleansing of our sins, for healing of the nations. And we do pray for those who are not well at this time. We think particularly of Jackie in hospital. Bless us. We thank you that she's had the operation and now she is recuperating. And we pray that she'll soon be able to get out of the hospital bed and to start moving about. So bless the family at this time. This is always a challenge. And we also pray, as we know over this weekend, there's all this situation with the Israel and the hostages. We do pray that there will be a release of all of the hostages. Yes. Yeah. That, Lord, you would make that happen. It is and it will be a miracle. Yes. But we thank you for it. And we pray, Lord, it will go ahead. And, Lord, that the peace of Jerusalem, Lord, we know it won't be fully peaceful until you come again. But we do pray for this time that there will be some peace. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
We can take it out. Yeah, okay. Sorry.
Chosen a communion song. I'm just going to sing that first before. Oh, yeah, okay.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. So it's just a little bit different because they're normally much slower pace, but we're going to sing Blessed Assurance just for a little bit difference. Yep. Yeah. Amen to that, Lord.
Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Just listening to people's beautiful voices. Right, it's time for the children to go, isn't it?
That's it.
So we've got King's Kids and Youth Group.
Go for it.
Yeah. Thank you, Tracy.
I just reminded myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, we're just going to pray for Doug, because Doug is our special speaker this morning. Lord, I lift up Doug to you, Lord, your precious servant, who is a servant hard, Lord. We pray that everything is prepared this morning, that it comes from you, Lord, your words. Use them as your vessel to just pray your word to us and teach us and educate us, that we can have something to take away and meditate on, Lord. And we pray that it is all your truth as we know it is, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now, got to learn how to use this device. This is on. Ooh. I didn't help my hearing aid at all. How are we doing? Do you need me to press something? Oh, there it is. Right, the topic for this morning, change. When Ian asked me to bring a message to the church, the word change came to my mind. And this morning we will explore something of what it means for us at this time as a fellowship. As a church, since Alistair's resignation, we once again find we're in a process of change. It has often been said But the only constant is change. It is going to be even more challenging this time as the size of our congregation has reduced, as I can see as I look round, actually, for a variety of reasons. This will mean that the workload will fall on far fewer people, particularly the existing trustees. We need to think of our trustees as they consider what God has got in store for KBC now and in the future. We need to support the trustees in prayer and in as many practical ways as we can, as they have taken on a great responsibility under God for the care of the church and its congregation. Over the years, we've been through a number of changes, and those who've been here a lot longer have seen many a minister as well. But we're looking forward to the future. God has been with us, and he makes promises. And he's promised, one of his biggest promises was that he would not remove his Holy Spirit from this church, this fellowship. And that is very special. And it's a source of great encouragement, as Jesus said, apart from him, we can do nothing. All right, let's have a go. No. That is too small. Oh, I don't know, actually, up there, it's not too bad. Can you read that? Yeah, just. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing, which is a challenge. So we find ourselves in a time of transition. I am reminded of Joshua, who had just taken on the role of leader of the Israelites upon the death of Moses. He was 80 at the time when he was called to lead, which makes us think when we are in that sort of area of age. God spoke to him, as we read in... Let's try it again. No. Should I be pointing it over that way? There we go. Joshua 1:9. God said, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The call to be strong and courageous is also very relevant in a spiritual sense, as well as in a practical way. As believers, we're called to stand firm in our faith and not be afraid or discouraged. God is exhorting Joshua to obey his laws, meditate on them, and trust in the promises that the Lord Almighty has given him. We can learn and take heart from this in our present situation. God has plans for his people, Israel, and God has plans for us. No, I've gone the wrong way. We'll get there. We're reminded in Jeremiah 29:11-13, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Although the promises were for the Israelites, we often attach them to ourselves. The key phrases are call on me and come and pray to me and seek me and find me with all your heart, which reminds me of that reading I gave earlier. Their heart for God is amazing, to go through that and still want to meet. Gone the wrong way now. You do it. It's on prayer. That's the one. We've often been told that prayer of the church is the powerhouse of the church. I think as a church we need to believe in this. At the moment, the attendance at church meeting, prayer meetings, is very disappointing. I know it's not always easy to actually attend for a variety of reasons. But for the church to move on, we need to spend time in prayer together. If alternative days or times will make it easier, please let the trustees know. We're exhorted to pray in the following scriptures. Next one. Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we face a time of change, it may cause us to be anxious, but the Bible tells us in every situation to trust in God for everything. And from that, we then receive the peace that only God can bring. Prayer is our opportunity to come to our Father and make requests known to him. We need to seek him and seek him with all our hearts. We're all members of the body of Christ at King's Baptist Church, and we need each other to do this. We're told that prayer changes things, and it does, but it also changes us. We recognise our total dependence on God in every way. Truly, without him, we can do nothing. Prayer is a two-way conversation with God and us. As we draw near to God, yes, making our requests known to him, but also listening to his guidance, his direction, his plans for our future at King's Baptist Church. He is more than willing to reveal his purposes to us and by his Holy Spirit shine his light on the pathway he has for us and to show us the strategies that will be effective in advancing his kingdom. Next one. Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our strength is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand. Wrong way. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. We are called to be ready as those in battle. The Roman soldiers had to be kitted out in full armour to face the enemy. And we have to be ready to face the spiritual enemy who seeks to kill, rob and destroy. Soldiers do not operate independently, normally, nor should we. So we need to work together and pray together whenever we can. In particular, we need to attend the service of reconciliation, which is to be held on the 23rd of November, which will be led by Neil Whitnell, where there will be an opportunity to meet with the Lord, seek reconciliation, and move forward into this next chapter, stronger and more united. Undergoing a season of change can present us with challenges. In the midst of this, we do well to remind ourselves that God is unchanging. He is eternal. He is our rock and our firm foundation. He is for us. Our confidence is in him. Next one. Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer to pray that his kingdom will come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is building his church and we are part of that. Now I'm changing the topic to growth of the church. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" In the New Testament, Christians received God's presence through the Holy Spirit, who gave them strength, peace, and boldness to witness to Christ. We are his disciples, and we can be sure that as we carry on his work, he will also be with us to the very end of the age. We're entering a new phase, as his disciples definitely were. It must have been a bit of a shock to them. But God promises that he will always be with us as we move forward. Isaiah, thank you. "Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes." Which means for us, the way we look at it, is that where we go out and bring people to us. Last week we held a harvest festival. This reminds us that God provides the seed, good man. We plant it and God waters, and then we see the growth and the harvest. We are the ones who are called to give the seed that God gives to us, to all that we meet. And then God will water that seed through the Holy Spirit, the seed being the word of God and the gospel message. There you go. I'm reminded from previous teachings that disciples make disciples and sheep make sheep. So that's what we're called to do. Okay, making disciples is a lifestyle, letting people into our lives at home and outside in our daily lives. The first introduction, when you're outside and you're walking, and you just say to somebody, "Hello," and then build a relationship built on trust. We find ourselves quite blessed that when we do a bit of gardening along the front here, people walk by, they often stop because they like what's there, and then we say, "Hello." And occasionally, if they've got a little one, we say, "Tots and toddlers on Monday." It works. But you can do the same. I mean, I know some of us live slightly further afield, which does make it a bit more tricky, but encourage them to go to their Baptist church. Right, get to where I started. We're called to rescue and release those who are lost, those who we know in this world who don't know Jesus as their own Saviour. There are many who think they are Christians, but they don't actually know Jesus for themselves. We are called to make it clear about our understanding of our faith and invite them to get to know Jesus for themselves. Spiritual privilege. Good man, he's doing well. Now that picture I thought was quite interesting because it's a person going on a long walk, pilgrim, but he's actually a crossroads. And we are, in a sense, at a crossroads. And we've got to decide, do we go forward, to the right, to the left, or even back, but hopefully going forward. Yeah. Bless you. God has made many promises for all his followers, and by focusing on his faithfulness, believers can step into the promised land of his blessings. I read a comment in a book called Awaken by Anne Calvert and John McKinley, which I found challenging. Are we spiritual pilgrims or spiritual tourists? Pilgrims are purposeful and travel in a community towards a spiritual destination. They journey in a way that reflects their destination. There is a sense of call. Pilgrims are engaging their heart, soul, mind, bodies, and spirit in this journey. And this book also gave a reference from a Thomas Kempis. Always keep in mind that you are a pilgrim upon the earth, a guest and a stranger. If you live thus, you will not cling to the things of this world, but seek those that are above. Because once we become Christians, we have a heavenly home to go to, and we have to bear that in mind as we travel through this world. Throughout our lives, we undergo periods of change, and we are being transformed by our Heavenly Father, who knows how he is shaping us and how he is shaping King's Baptist Church. We have weapons at our disposal: his word to feed us, his Holy Spirit to equip and comfort us, and the ability to pray at all times for one another. The Lord God Almighty does not change. He is our immovable rock, our eternal Heavenly Father, our Redeemer. And so we will not fear this time of change, but we will put our trust in him, for he will not leave us or forsake us. If anyone feels the need for prayer for any reason, or if you've been challenged by what has been said, please come forward to the front. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. No? Okay, right, yeah, no, lovely, thank you. Thank you, Doug, that was great. It was wonderful, wasn't it? No, and it's just what we need to hear at the moment, because we're in a time of change, but this is a wonderful church family. I am honoured to be part of this church. And we can move forward. It's a great place to be. We've got fellowship, we've got love and respect for each other. This is a wonderful church family. There's no other two ways about it, is it? Amen. Amen. Right, let's sing our final song then. We're going to sing One Thing Remains. All the wonderful things that happen.
Remember.
to say our final prayer, Lord. So, Lord, we know our church is changing. And, God, we know that you have your hand over everything. We are thankful that you already know what is to come and that you are protecting us and overseeing every decision that we make. And we ask for your protection and your guidance in our lives, here, now, and forever, Lord. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen, Lord. Right, it's time we can a little bit of fellowship. You're welcome to join us if you can stay. A bit of tea and coffee. Amen. Thank you.